Kotlovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the program, friends. I tell you, big news today out of Washington. Well, big news. Tom Price, Secretary of Health and Human Services, is out, tendered his resignation after racking up about $1 million in private jet travel. This had to happen. It had to happen, but it raises some interesting questions that I think are tangential to it. You know, you remember when Comey was unceremoniously fired, and he was out here in Los Angeles, you know, he was meeting with the FBI, and then they showed video. They had footage of him, you know, walking back to the airplane, walking back to his, and that was a jet too. I remember looking at it. Big, expensive jet, the kind of jet that I asked around. It's about $6,000-$7,000 an hour to fly that jet. So I had to look into this a little bit. I was curious. I mean, you know, you got one guy, he can't fly on jets. You got another guy, the FBI director, who isn't, by the way, even in the presidential line of succession. So he's not, you know, he's not an important high security person. So anyway, turns out the FBI director does get to use a plane. The DOJ, so the FBI is under the DOJ, but the attorney general, that he gets a jet. A couple others too. So there's just certain people in the government that get planes and certain people that don't. And that's the way this thing turns. And it's bad optics. You can't have the type of administration that wants to drain the swamp and wants to be the people's administration and have this type of spending. But I do want to point something out. You know, when you look at the FBI director, for example, so he's any FBI director, they get to use the plane, the government plane, all the time, even for personal travel, but they're required to reimburse us, you and me. They're required to give us some money back for this extravagance. But I look at the rules and they're really only reimbursing us for the cost of a ticket. I mean, you know, you take one of these, the average flight on the plane that Comey had, you hear about, I have a friend, he's in the brokerage business. He charters flights for rappers, basically, and very wealthy Hollywood types. So I talked to him about this. And that plane right there, for a guy that wants to do a trip, let's say, to Europe or across the country, whatever, I mean, it could be $100,000. So a guy that makes, what does an FBI director make? I don't, 150, something in there? I don't know, maybe more. Not a lot of money. There's no way that he's actually reimbursing the cost of that travel. So all we get back, by the way, on that is a pittance. Is enough for, you know, for the soda pop on board and maybe a few peanuts. So this, you know, it ends up, and that's just the way it is. So Price got a little bit greedy. And that's it. But yeah, so for all of you wondering, hey, Loretta Lynch, remember her private jet sitting there on the tarmac with Slick Willie storming the cabin and compromising her in the midst of the investigation into Hillary Rodham Clinton? Well, that's why. Now you know why. Now, she got a plane. The Department of Justice, they get to fly around and live high on the hog. You know what I suspect, too, though? Every story, no firing ever happens for one reason. This is some private, I don't know, this is private sector experience. Occasionally, somebody does something so egregious that it's unpardonable. In a business, you have theft or you have dishonesty of some kind. But generally speaking, you can overcome even a very big issue like a giant $1 million whoopsie daisy. I'm flying around on PJs left and forth. If you're doing a really good job. I mean, that's the deal here. And Price, at the end of the day, was he doing a great job? What's the story that everybody's talking about? Obamacare? Still the law of the land. And Price's mandate, his entire raison d'etre to be in the Trump administration was to get rid of Obamacare, to repeal it, to replace it, to do whatever it took to get it done. And Price, you know, he's a, I think, 6 or 7 term congressman, former congressman from Georgia. He was, if you'll recall, he was, in fact, a congressman at the time that he was given the appointment. And so the thinking was, too, if you go back to the original selection of Price to serve in that role, was that, hey, this guy knows Congress. He's got allies in Congress. There's people, there are relationships there, and a familiarity with how things work, because the objective was to use Price to get rid of Obamacare. Well, y'all know how that went down. Not good. And I think that's the second part of the story that really people aren't talking about. They're focusing. They're just all wrapped up about the private jets. And that, to me, I just see it as a kind of like the last straw, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So it's a good opportunity to regroup, right? They're moving on to tax reform right now. The Health and Human Services Secretary is not front and center. It's a time to regroup, and Trump will reshuffle it and find somebody else, and maybe somebody else will be more effective than Price was. We will wait and see, and of course, as always, follow the story. Hey, you remember on Friday, last Friday, there was a big story, a big to-do. You know, Rachel Maddow, you almost could sense that she was going to burst live on air with delight that the Department of Homeland Security had confirmed that I think something around 21 states had been infiltrated by Russian hackers in the lead up to the 2016 election. Now, this was a giant, this is exactly what Trump haters were waiting for, right? This is confirmation and proof. It wasn't just the spreading of fake news or some bots, you know, that's why Trump won. He had all the Ruski bots behind him. No, this was supposedly actual proof that the Russians had infiltrated election voting machines, and potentially, by implication, potentially had changed votes. So everyone from Rachel Maddow to Colbert to every ninny on the left, and even I'll tell you, even some of these, you know, anti-Trump, never Trumper, right-wing guys, just all began getting delighted, and it fed, by the way, it endorsed the Hillary Clinton narrative. Remember her last bit of battiness? We haven't been given Hillary Hurricane Hillary updates, but her tour is still continuing. She's still signing books. She's relocated some of these tour stops to the frozen food section in Costco. There's pictures of her doing that. But anyway, what did she say? She said, "Well, I'm not going to give up on contesting the legitimacy of the result of the election." And that's, by the way, it's a big no-no. We don't do that. You know, we lose the race. We lose the fight fair and square. We lick our wounds and we move on. And when I saw that news on Friday, I immediately thought this is fake news, nonsense. And then we didn't get to it with everything else going on. But my point being, this is exactly it. This is the type of thing that endorsed that narrative, that endorsed the, aha, see, we need to heat things up. And that was what it was. It was the Russia investigations now heating up. Well, it turned out to be a total, total nonsense story. The guy that came out and said this, it ended up getting refuted by a bunch of Secretary of States. And by the way, you know it's bad when California's Alex Padilla, it's Secretary of State here, liberal extraordinaire. I mean, you don't think California is actually wanting to help Trump in this narrative, do you think so? I mean, no, right? Obviously not. And Padilla comes out. Wait, I got his statement here somewhere. I'll get to it. He basically says, heck no. This is no way, no how, did not happen. We were not infiltrated. And now Homeland Security, we have, as of yesterday, they basically pulled everything back and had to retract it. And the AP had to retract the story. And everybody's been retracting the story. Yeah. Oh, this is the statement from Alex Padilla, California Secretary of State. Last Friday, we were notified by the DHS that Russian cyber actors scanned California's internet, blah, blah, blah. It became clear that DHS's conclusions were wrong. There's nothing here. Zero. Again. So much so that an article came out today, interesting article by Glenn Greenwald. Now, you'll remember he was the one. He's a left-wing guy. He's a left-wing guy. Did he used to be with the Post? Who was he with originally? Guardian. The Post. And he was also with the Guardian, though, wasn't he? And he's the one who broke the Snowden story. That's why Greenwald's a famous guy. And now he's working for an outfit called The Intercept. Anyway, he wrote, it's a 14-page article that basically says, these media companies, these reporters need to get a grip. Time and time again, they're reporting, they're making outlandish claims about Trump that then don't pan out at all. There's nothing there. Substantively, poof, it just evaporates into thin air. And I think that's really where this Russia thing's going to go. It's evaporating. You saw, too, part of the story is that now Facebook, there's some emails that were leaking out through WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, who's trying to strike a deal with the Justice Department. He wants to get a pardon in exchange for conclusive evidence that it was, in fact, Hillary Clinton that tampered with the election. I don't know. I don't know about any of that, but release some emails. And this is Podesta. Remember, his email was the one that got hacked. And in the Podesta emails, he's having this, Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook, he's having these like just beautiful, soulful. How can we help you? How can you help us? We want to make sure that Hillary gets elected. This is Sheryl Sandberg, who's the number two person at Facebook. And you've got this uncomfortably cozy relationship at Facebook between management and a campaign and Hillary Clinton. And if this happened on the other side, or if these type of emails emerged with anyone inside of Trump's inner circle sending these type of fawning messages to anyone with a Russian sounding last name, they'd be drawing up impeachment papers tonight. So they confirms what we've always known. And to me, part of this that makes it so absurd is that when Republicans have won elections, it has always been against a tremendous headwind of a hostile media. And in Trump's case, boy, everybody was hostile to him. He had bombs getting lobbed at him, even from the National Review and publications on the right that are, traditionally friendly. So what's the point is that it's such a nonsense narrative. The left loses an election. They have every media company behind their candidate. Every major newspaper endorses Hillary. Everybody lines up behind her. And she's a nothing candidate. Nobody wants to buy what she's selling. And the result is she loses. And they now want to cry foul? It's maddening. It's maddening. They are so used to playing with the stack deck. And they almost expect it's an entitlement that the result is going to turn out their way. And I think, and I think, by the way, now that you've got Glenn Greenwald and others like him that are essentially leftists, but they're beginning to criticize this enormous corruption within the media establishment. We'll call it the left-wing media establishment. You know, I think everybody complains about the Republican Party being rudderless and leaderless and lost and wandering in the wilderness. But my God, I look at the left and their traditional, we'll call them kind of ancillary parts of their party, like the mainstream media, and it's all in shambles. It's literally all in shambles. And the best they've got, the Keith Olbermann, you know, double down, has all been about Trump-Russia and collusion and infiltration and all this. And it turns out it's just lie upon lie upon exaggeration upon nonsense. Total fiction. So we'll see where this goes. All right, don't go anywhere. We got plenty more. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I got so excited getting right to all the news that I failed to give the phone number. 1-800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program tonight, sam@samnation.com is the email. And happy Friday, by the way. Here, we made it. It's Friday night, and hopefully you're on your way to home from work and to dinner or to family or to something fun. Well, the whole Trump-Russia collusion story is so important to the left because it's like a... it's like a creation myth. You know, it's this pillar of faith right now for the left. They can't just accept that Trump won the election. They can't accept that America doesn't want their BS. That America isn't buying what they've been selling. I mean, Hillary Clinton was a perfectly she was bland, not a great candidate at all, but as far as the Democratic Party goes, I mean, she was very representative of the Democratic Party. You know, she was perfectly, to them, perfectly inoffensive. Well, to us, very offensive. But to them, she represented the standard, if you will, package of what a Democrat ought to be. All the talking points were there, all the platforms, everything, plus, you know, her history and whatnot. And America didn't want that. So, of course, it's going to create an existential crisis for the people that were behind her. And she didn't lose to a conventional Republican. She lost to, a pirate. They're certainly not okay with that. So the Russia hacking story explains it, and that's why they're holding on to it. But the more they hold on to it, and the more times it's disproven, the way it is right now with this latest revelation that the news from the Department of Homeland Security that Russia had infiltrated 21 states turned out to be total nonsense. Those type of oh, there's hope, and we're drafting articles of impeachment now. Quick, grab a pen, paper, let's do this. And then it's like, oops, well, next week there's going to be something. Because they really, truly do hope, that they're going to invalidate the election. Of course, they don't understand that right now, as it is, they're already losing 2020. They're already losing 2020. Yeah, that's exactly. But they're still relitigating. They're stuck on 2016. The Democratic Party is literally stuck in the past. This is just like relationships. You know, everything comes back to human interaction. You know, if life is kind of crappy for you, what do you do? Do you harp on the past? Do you think about the last relationship you were in? Or no, you got to look forward. You've got to look ahead. Be a better you, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here, I would, the same advice I think holds true for the Democratic Party. Be a better party. Figure it out. So anyway, here's a montage of the just to kind of give you flavor for how important it is to all these people. These are Senator Chris Coons, there's Jake Tapper, Bernie Sanders, Blumenthal's here, and of course Maxine Waters. But just to remind you, this is how hung up they are on it.
There is no doubt that the Russians hacked our election in 2016.
Possible Trump team collusion with Russia in the 2016 election. That's still not only an active investigation, it's actually accelerating.
Russia has been interfering in elections big time. Our intelligence agencies all agree that they interfered significantly in the American election.
Here we have a threat to the democracy. In fact, the theft of our democracy.
I told you that I thought there was a Kremlin clan and these were his allies. If we do the investigations, the information is there. We're fiddling while Rome is burning.
We're fiddling while Rome is burning. This is the Democratic Party. And you see how, can you hear the faith? These are like, literally, this is like a great revival in the 1800s. Listening to a crazy preacher, you know, lighten the crowd up. But behind it is no substance. And so, like any great con, eventually it runs out. It just runs out of runway. Okay, don't go anywhere. We got John Wolf up next with the news. And I'll be back after the break. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, 1-800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. Now, we're coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. And, I'm honestly surprised. No, I'm not surprised, but I'm tickled, in fact, that in this entire narrative of Russia stole the election, right? Trump won. Trump only won with the assistance, the interference of his Russian cronies. You know, the right thing for Hillary to do, of course, is to be the adult in the room, is to take the higher ground, so to speak. In fact, I think a tremendous amount of her personal political capital could be preserved by doing that. You got everybody shouting up and down about how, this is invalid, this election was stolen. And if Hillary Clinton were to stand up and say, no, you know what, we lost this race fair and square. And here's our path forward. And you know what, we need to take, maybe we need to look at some of maybe we as Democrats have been out of touch with America. Any amount of self-reflection, even if it's fake. Would probably put her in a position where she would be the de facto leader right now of the Democratic Party. And instead, she's peddling her stupid book that has, it's vapid. It has no insight, nothing. It's nothing but just a rehash of excuses and of explanations that are totally meaningless. In that process too, there really hasn't been anyone else who has stepped up and been willing to say it. The Democratic Party right now needs somebody to stand up and say the emperor doesn't have any clothes. He is naked. But instead, they're doing what you heard in that clip that I played there. There's no doubt the Russians hacked our elections. Possible collusion. There's an active investigation, Tapper says. It's actually accelerating. No, they sit around in their salons in Manhattan, the Upper East Side, Midtown, in their posh clubs and restaurants, drinking their $25 cocktails, their pinky fingers up in the air going, oh, yes, it's accelerating. Any day now, any day, Trump is going to be frog marched out of the White House. It's not happening. It's not happening. So I don't know. I fancy the show as being part part voice of reason too for the left. I mean, no, you don't have to listen to me. Of course, it's up to you. But I think I'm giving very good advice that they could take. Oh, speaking of no adult in the room, I have to share this. Do you hear about this mom who went to Germany and didn't take her kids? Well, that seems pretty straightforward, right? She didn't take her kids. She leaves for a long trip to Germany. I want to say, let me think how long she was supposed to be there. She was supposed to be there a couple weeks. She's got four kids at home, age 6 to 12, and she left them home alone. And basically, she bounces on the kids and says, hey, here, you guys stay home. I'm leaving you with a gun. And also, by the way, you can follow my trip on Instagram. You can see where mommy is. Just, you know, just make sure you get, you look at my posts. This is real. Where is this crazy person? Let's see. I don't know. I can't see it here. I don't know where she was, what town this is. But they're calling her America's worst mom. Yeah, you think? So apparently the police get tipped off very quickly that there are, you know, four unsupervised children under the age of 12 at home with a gun. And I guess the cops, they go out, they do a welfare check, find out, yeah, in fact, this is a problem. And kids, you know, the kids are like, yeah, mom left. And so they tell her, hey, you got to come home. And she only cut the trip short by like 3 days. So, of course, she gets arrested right at the airport. All right. We'll be back right after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, what do you do if you get into a car accident or maybe have a dog bite you or you get run over by somebody driving one of those electric scooters? It doesn't really matter. You get hurt by somebody. Don't talk to them. Don't try to go through their insurance company. Just, what do? You call Attorney Sweet James Bergner because he is the guy that we trust here on the program to get you taken care of, to get you protected, to get you the justice that you deserve. His phone number, it's really easy, 1-800-881-2021. Keep that with you. You never know. You or a loved one, a friend, a coworker might be going, hey, I'm dealing with the insurance company, and it's frustrating because you know what? They don't take care of you the way that they promise. And you know who does? Sweet James. So give him a call. Remember, you've got rights. And you know what? The other side is never going to tell you what those rights are, by the way, are they? That's not how it works. They don't want to tell you things that will help you get money from them. No, no, no. They'll keep that away from you as much as they can. So give Sweet James a phone call. His phone number, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or check him out on his website at sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Nation back behind the microphone. This Friday night, I'm excited for the weekend. I'm not doing anything. I mean, some family stuff, you know, getting together with family and friends. I need this. Yeah, it's been one of those weeks where you just, I want to sleep, and I just want to hang out with the kids, you know, just take it easy. Yeah, it's true. I'll watch the Sunday shows. I do this. This is my duty to you, my friends. I've got to keep you informed when I'm back on Monday, and take you through the happenings. But boy, those Sunday shows sometimes are insufferable, and that's part of this. That's part of this climate right now. Where I'm sitting there. I'm enjoying my weekend, and I'm watching. People on TV get things that I know something about. I know what's going on. I've talked to some of these people. I have information, and it's unbelievable the kind of stupid lies that they say on TV. So anyway, I do that for you, and I will make sure that I am up to speed on everything going on. Oh, the librarian, Cat in the Hat. Speaking of stupid. So there's a librarian at Cam Bridgeport Elementary School. Her name is Liz Phillips Suero. And Suero receives a book. This librarian gets a book sent by the First Lady. I don't exactly know why the First Lady was sending this book, but she sends this book over. Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat. And she says that it's steeped in racist propaganda. You know, we really went pretty quickly from Robert E. Lee to the Cat in the Hat. I mean, it's hard to follow these people. It really is. I need to know. Well, I understand. Okay, Stars and Bars is bad. Robert E. Lee, bad. Confederacy, bad. But Dr. Seuss? Remember yesterday with the bathrooms? Remember when I was telling you about my kids' elementary school? How they now have an all-gender bathroom? And this is the cause du jour right now. Everybody wants, you know, transgender issues and all that. It's very important, very woke. And I said, I just close your eyes and imagine what the next issue and the issue after that and whatnot that the social justice warriors are going to fight for in the future. They're just going to run out of meaningful causes. And this is where the left lives. They live in a world where they must create controversy. So this woman decides to, out of thin air, make up that the Cat in the Hat is some type of racist. Which is, of course, absolute nonsense. A best part about the story, though, is that the internet. That's the best part of the story. Because the internet contained a photograph of this woman, this very woman that's calling the Cat in the Hat racist, of her dressed as, wait for it, the Cat in the Hat. So, and this is like 3 months ago. I don't know what a dotard is, but I think she's one. I'm just going to say that. All right. Yeah, no, I'll tell you, this all connects together. So stay tuned. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. The librarian there that refused the book. By the way, you're not supposed to turn down a present. I understand. Look, I understand if you run a public library and somebody sends you Mein Kampf, you're going to refuse it. You know, I also think you might as well refuse What Happened because, I'm not equating the two, but it's crap literature at any rate. But she refuses a book that is sent by the First Lady. And I found out it's part of the White House initiative that's called National Read a Book Day. So it's something the White House is doing. They're sending out books to libraries. How nice. How nice. But no, the liberals must create controversy. They only exist where there's controversy. It's the same thing with race baiting. If you are, you know, if you're Al Sharpton, you're out of a job if there are no racists. So you begin making racists and seeing racists, creating racism wherever you go. That's the shtick, right? But here's where this whole thing runs aground. The whole thing. Oh, you're saying that Trump was. Trump is for the flag? Is Trump for books? I thought Trump couldn't even read Cat in the Hat. I mean, I thought these people. How does Trump even know that this book is racist? If you listen to these clowns, half the time they're saying that Trump is illiterate. Maybe he just likes the colorful pictures. But the thing is the left creates controversy out of thin air. And it's not who Americans are. That's why we're sick of it. You know, it's an extreme of political correctness where you are now creating offense. You're creating, you're coming up with reasons to be hurt and to be offended. And this is so not us. It's not who we are culturally. We are a country that pulls itself up by the bootstraps. We get things done. We have a survivor spirit. We're a country of pioneers, of immigrants, of, you know, of renegades, of pirates even. And in this sense, you know, Trump is actually very American. Now, I know, again, you have the Manhattan jet set with their $25 cocktails, sipping them and just guffawing over what a buffoon, what a Biff-like character Trump is. But at the end of the day, when the American public is given a choice between the current left and the current right, what do they see on the left? They see people that are calling Cat in the Hat racist and that are refusing to stand for the national anthem. And on the right, they see a guy who basically says, yeah, hey, this, you know, it is what it is. Now I'm going to tell you why. That's what I think. And yeah, and God bless America. I love this country. And the Cat in the Hat, he's cool. I mean, that's a winning argument. These people are nuts. Totally nuts. So anyway, if you know a liberal, if you know a nice and liberal that, you know, that maybe has any pull or sway with the Democratic Party, tell them to listen to this program, because I think I shouldn't even do this, right? This could really hurt my own self-interest. But really, this party's lost. And the inmates are running the asylum. So all of these NFL kneelers, okay, this woman who's anti-Cat in the Hat, they all need to be locked up in a padded cell. They're crazy. And it's a totally losing argument and cannot in any way, shape, or form serve as the foundation for a movement. All right, I got to go. I'm starting my weekend. I don't know about you. Ready to do this. I'm going to be back on Monday. Back on Monday at 7. So I'll talk to you then. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. Over and out. People.